Welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a view of culture, current events, and politics through a biblical lens, with your hosts, Neil Boron, Bob Duco, Roger Marsh, and John Rush. Now let's join the conversation.
Very happy to be back with you folks for another episode of the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. We are Neil-less again this week, but we look forward to having Neil Boron back with us next week, of course, and Roger Marsh, John Rush, and myself, Bob Duco. Guys, how are you?
Doing well, Great. Bob. How are you?
Good. Always good talking with you. So before we dive into a lot of the latest with the COVID issue, because we're going to be talking in this episode, folks, about a couple big things COVID-related. One of them are the division that seems to be happening in people's lives and friendships, relationships, families, and such regarding the vaccine. A growing number of people are saying that they are ending friendships with people who are refusing to get vaccinated. And so we're going to talk about that in this new poll that's out, and then we'll also talk about Joe Biden's vaccine mandates on businesses, private businesses, and such. So there's a lot of that to unpack. But before we do, a couple different things I got to ask you guys. Roger, first of all, Gavin Newsom, he hangs on. The recall election out there in California, just kind of curious, what's the feel out there? Now, was there any real expectation that Larry Elder might actually pull this out? Because for a time it was looking like he was leading in the polls, but it seems Gavin Newsom won pretty handily, about two-thirds, one-third.
Well, there are two questions on the ballot. The first one was, do you recall the governor? And the second one was, if you do recall him, who wins? The answer to question number two is it was Larry Elder in a landslide. I mean, of the couple million people who responded, when I went to bed last night, Larry had 1.9 million votes, and his next closest competitor had about 200,000. So if the recall itself had gone through, Larry Elder would be the governor of California this morning. The problem, of course, was the recall itself. And it was amazing to me, Bob. I mean, even extended family members, I was stunned at the number of people who said, well, I voted no on the recall because I really don't think we need it. But if we do pass the recall, then here's what I'm picking. And I thought, well, that's not the point. You know, the whole point was, yes, you want to recall him and replace him with somebody else, a la Arnold Schwarzenegger. Larry did a heroic job in spite of two things. I mean, number one, of course, was the Democratic, the machine that was behind Gavin Newsom. And they pulled out all the stops. I'm telling you what, guys, you have not seen so many dignitaries showing up in the People's Republic over the past week, maskless, of course, you know, making campaign appearances. We had Kamala Harris showed up and went to In-N-Out Burger. You know, that was supposed to endear her to the populace. Joe Biden showed up. Barack Obama made an ad that ran all over Netflix, basically saying, and the theme of the message was, if you elect Larry Elder, everyone's getting COVID. I mean, I don't mean to oversimplify it, but that was in effect what they did. It's the second coming of Donald Trump, and you're all going to get COVID. And it's amazing how many people fell for it. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, Larry campaigned as a moderate, as a libertarian. You know, he said, I'm running as a Republican, but, you know, he had certain parts of his platform that weren't necessarily true conservative. I think they were more conservative than what we've got, and he would have been a pen and veto guy, you know, for a year and a half until the next election happens. But the people have spoken. Apparently, I was telling John before we started, the first the certification officially happens on Thursday, and there hasn't been any report of any hanky panky. The only thing I noticed that was strange was, you know how on election day, when there's any kind of election, when the local folks start reporting what's happening, they'll say, okay, here's what we have with the absentee ballots counted, or here's with 2 or 3% of the precincts counted. The local news here started reporting that they had 65% of the precincts reporting at about 8:20. I mean, they were basically declaring him victory at 8:30. You know, I mean, it was that quick, and it was all based on projections of mail-in voting. But if you look at that, you know, say, well, Democrats typically vote early. I mean, so of course there was a heavy turnout for Democrats. I think it was 5 million to 2 million in the early mail-in, but there's 22 million ballots that went out. So, I mean, that only accounted for 8. So what happens then is, now you figure there's going to be a strong walk-up from Republicans, which there probably was, but they basically said, well, based on our projections, this is the way it's going to turn out. And I'm like, wait, 1 out of 3 people who signed up for this petition were registered Democrats. I mean, this was not a Republican versus Democrat issue. It was a good versus evil. It was a lockdown versus is non-lockdown. So if some hanky-panky does show up a year and a half from now, I won't be surprised, but disappointed. But I you know, the press is saying, well, it's a landslide, you didn't have to worry about anything. I'm not so sure that it's going to turn out to ultimately have been a landslide, but it looks like we're stuck with Gavin Newsom until at least 2023.
I hate to say this, but was the problem Larry Elder then? Was it just that because it's California and there's not a chance in the world that you're going to get a conservative radio talk show host, let alone a black conservative, out there in California? Is that the issue, that people were like, well, we would love to get rid of Gavin Newsom, but we're not going to replace him with Larry Elder?
Yeah, I think there's a fear factor for a lot of people. I mean, folks looked at Larry and they don't know what to do with him. You know, I mean, he's been a radio fixture in Los Angeles for 30 years and legitimately and not one of those fringe tin can and string guys. I mean, he's been on KABC. He's with the Salem organization. I mean, Larry has an audience. He's syndicated. I mean, he's got some clout, and he does make sense. But I mean, this is a guy who, during the John MacArthur situation last year with Grace Church in Sun Valley, he had John on regularly to talk about what was going on and give updates. He was very, very supportive of religious liberty. He's just a straight up guy. And the fact that I think it was tough for Californians to wrap their arms around that. They're just so used to saying, okay, well, here's a person of color, so therefore they have to be pro-transgender, you know, pro-leftist ideology, and hence our, you know, we jokingly refer to the People's Republic of California, People's Republic of Michigan, but it really has become that here. And my hunch is what you're going to see now is there will be the exodus to Texas and Florida and Tennessee will continue from California, of people who are just looking for a place to live their values and pay lower taxes. And it's unfortunate to see what's going to happen to the Golden State, but it's going to become the Iron State faster than we could have ever imagined.
And of course, on a side note, I still just wonder what that Back to the Future Part 2 alternate universe reality would have looked like if it had been a white Trump supporter wearing a gorilla mask throwing an egg at Maxine Waters or Stacey Abrams or some, you know, how big of a news story would that have been? And so just a typical classic. Okay, now, before we go diving into all of the COVID stuff, there is actually a COVID-related issue that I was seeing in the news. And John, I'm curious to get your take about this. A local CBS station in Colorado, of course, you broadcast your show, Rush to Reason, out of Denver, Colorado. Some local school district saying that teachers risk being arrested and imprisoned if they don't wear masks or don't enforce mask wearing in their schools. And I'm like, my goodness, are we really now to this point to where vaccines and masks are to the point of you're going to be arrested and charged and handcuffed if you violate the mask rules? It seems insane, but I was looking at a news story like that. I can't remember where it was, but someplace locally out of Colorado. Has that made it onto your radar screen yet? Here in Denver?
No, it has not. Doesn't mean that it's not true, but no, it hasn't made it on any of our
CBS. It's like a CBS 4. I can't remember what city it was in. So.
Yeah, and I can look that up real quick. But no, that hasn't come up. In other words, not saying that it's not true, but it's evidently not big enough to make it all over at this point. Again, doesn't mean that it's not true, but I have not heard that yet, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It makes my eye twitch because it would not surprise me if something like that didn't start spreading around a little bit more, that, for the sake of, we got to protect humanity against you dangerous non-mask wearers or you unvaccinated people or such. So here's what we're going to do. Let's take a short break, and then we're going to talk about this new poll out showing people ending their friendships based on vaccination disagreements as we continue this National Crawford Roundtable.
Be transformed by the Word of God with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life. Every weekday, Alistair Begg teaches the Bible through in-depth verse-by-verse attention to the Word of God. You can listen to Truth for Life on your local Crawford broadcasting station or listen online at truthforlife.org. Please support this important ministry with your donations at the truthforlife.org website or by calling 888-588-7884, and be sure to let them know you heard about Truth for Life from the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continuing the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with myself, Bob Duco, with John Rush out of Denver, Colorado, Roger Marsh from the People's Republic of California. Neil Boron will be back with us next week. We're talking about COVID right now. So, guys, there's this poll out. It was an organization, a surveying organization called One Poll, and they asked Americans, have you ended friendships because of the vaccination or mask issue? And we're not talking about ending Facebook friendships. We're talking about people that are actually your friends to where you say, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Don't talk to me anymore. Don't call me. We're not friends anymore. And why? Because we disagree on the vaccine issue. Now, it was predominantly the vaccinated who were ending the friendships with the unvaccinated. Although there were some, it was a minority, but there were some of the unvaccinated that were saying, forget it, I don't want to be your friend anymore if you're part of the pro-vaccine crowd. But for the most part, it was the other way. And yet 16% of Americans, according to this poll, say that they have ended not one, not two, but three or more friendships with people who are unvaccinated, saying, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And yesterday, I did an open line topic on my show about this very poll and open up the phone lines and let listeners call in and say, are you guys experiencing this? Are we seeing this in the body of Christ? Guys, I got to tell you, I could not believe, and John, I want to start with you. I could not believe how many of my listeners were calling me saying, this happening in my family, okay? I'm estranged from the family. I'm not vaccinated. They're like, you know, my kids, my daughter doesn't want anything to do with me. I was disinvited to a family wedding. So it's happening inside family. Mm-hmm. So people are actually, and I got to be honest with you, and I know this sounds really like hyperbole, but John, this has the feeling of some creepish cult-like obsession, like a religious cult obsession where you get so wide-eyed and you lose objectivity. And it's like, bottom line, if you're not going to join the vaccination cult, then I want nothing to do with you. We're estranged. Don't contact me anymore. Even family members. And it's like, wow, John, what is going on?
Yeah, and you're right. It hasn't, by the way, everybody listening, has not been in my family. We are not that way. That has not been an issue any way, shape, or form, and hasn't been that way even in my business either, fortunately. But I have some guests that come on my show on a routine basis, and one of them has a daughter. And this is a guy, guys, that's very well known in Colorado. I don't want to use his name because I don't want to embarrass him by any means, but he was disinvited to his daughter's wedding because he will not get vaccinated.
Wow.
So what you're saying, Bob, is very true, and I've seen it firsthand.
Why, Roger, how do we explain this level of obsession to where you're willing to destroy even your own family relationships over the issue of this vaccine? I'm telling you, it really feels like there's a strange, creepy, spiritual, religious, cult-like obsession that people are developing over these vaccines.
I think a lot of it is cultural in terms of, I'll give you an example. One of my biggest sponsors for the Bottom Line Show supports a missionary couple, and the husband's from Texas. I don't remember where his wife is from, but they spent a lot of time in the Ivory Coast, and they were in town last week, so we all went to dinner, and four of us were just kind of hanging out, and I was asking about the vaccination thing, and they said, oh yeah, we went ahead and did it. And so I asked them why, and they said, well, we want to see our kids who are in the States, and we didn't want to get hung up with the two-week delay and this, that, and the other thing. Plus, we've had to have so many shots over the years, you know, because of going back and forth to Africa. You know, it's easier for us to do what we do. And then the husband said, yeah, and my brother-in-law is an immunologist, and, you know, he was telling us which one's the best one to take, and we haven't had any adverse reactions to it. And I said, well, did you have COVID before? They said, oh, yeah, we had it. And then we got the vaccine. And I said, well, wait a minute. Why'd you do that? We had a really nice civil conversation. I can't think of the last time I've had a civil conversation with somebody like that. It's just the fear-mongering that's gone on right now that has really boiled the whole conversation down to you're vaccinated, you're good, you're the healthy one, and you're saving America, and you're the unvaccinated one, and you're bad, you're the problem, and that's the reason why the vaccine keeps spreading, or the virus keeps spreading. And it's amazing the job the media has done. I mean, you guys know the death rate for infection, you know, and the infection rate for people who are vaccinated versus unvaccinated. I propose that we in the media actually report the death toll as it actually happens. And then instead of saying that every time you see an article that says, here's an unvaccinated guy in a ventilator and he's going to die, He's dying right now. He wishes he had the vaccine. Those are the only stories you see about unvaccinated people. Not, hey, here was someone who was unvaccinated, they got COVID, and they survived. Right. They lived, you know, they had it for 3 days, they had it for 4 days. I mean, Bob, you've had it. I mean, John, I believe you mentioned you'd had it too. I haven't. Neil's been vaccinated. I mean, we run the gamut here. But I know in my family, we had a gathering a couple weeks ago for my birthday. There were 12 of us in the suite at Angel Stadium, which was remarkable. Half of us had been vaccinated, half of us had not. And we were hugging and laughing and high-fiving and cheering and booing and having a wonderful time. And nobody didn't come because no one was asking the question, are we all vaccinated? Are we all not vaccinated? And so I'm sorry, gosh, John, that just breaks my heart, you know, for a father to have to miss his daughter's wedding because he said, look, this is the way I'm going to be. But yeah, I've seen that happen. It hasn't happened in my family yet, but it is happening. And I think a lot of it is just the way we're being conditioned. I mean, our culture doesn't know how to deal with anything you can't take a pill for, can't get a shot for. And so here comes the virus, and people are just buying it. You stare at CNN and PBS all day long, and this is all they tell you. I mean, the pieces they put together, they're so dramatic, they're so emotional, they're so evocative, and every one of them has the same ending. Here's another woman who's 75 years old and didn't get the vaccine, and now she's on a ventilator. And that's right. You too, if you don't get a vaccine. That's the narrative.
And the question that I guess I have, and maybe you guys can answer this for me, is if you're vaccinated, why are you worried about somebody around you not being vaccinated? I thought the point of being vaccinated was if you felt like personally that's something you needed to do and it was a protection, you know, a layer of protection that would help you and assist you. If you really truly believe that, then why do you care about who's vaccinated around you? And then one other question I have for you guys, if these vaccines are doing what they're supposed to, why, when I look at the graph, you know, are we on, you know, we're really coming back down again now when it comes to cases in the U.S., but why did we have this huge uptick in cases when over half the population of the United States was vaccinated? So two questions nobody can answer for me, by the way.
I think those are great questions. And by the way, you know, I'm the guy who says, let's look at the actual numbers. I don't care what your feelings are. It might feel like 2 + 2 = 5, but what does a calculator actually say? I looked up the latest CDC numbers from last week. Here's where we stand at this point. If, according to the CDC, if you have been vaccinated, then your chance of dying from COVID works out to about 1 in 160,000. Okay, 1 in 160,000. Now, if you have natural immunity, you've had COVID already, you have an even less chance of dying. But let's just talk about those that are fully vaccinated. 1 in 160,000 chance of dying. Your chance of dying in a car crash this year alone in 2021 is 1 in 8,400. 1 in 8,400, and that's this year alone. Dying in a car crash sometime in your entire life, 1 in 107. Okay, but this year, let's make it analogous to COVID time, 1 in 8,400. Yet nobody's out there panicked, wide-eyed, afraid to drive to work. They're living their life realizing this is something that could happen to me, but chances are it won't, and you drive to work and you don't think about it. 1 in 8,400. But 1 out of 160,000, those people that are vaccinated are panicked and afraid if they see a non-vaccinated person sitting next to them. Oh, here comes somebody not in a mask. I'm so offended and angry by you. I can't be your friend anymore. Kamala Harris said we need to get the vaccinated people protected by getting unvaccinated vaccinated. It's like, wait a minute, to your point, what are they afraid of? What do they need to be protected of? If you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you should not be fearing unvaccinated people. You should not be fearing unmasked people. You got a 1 in 160,000 chance of dying. And by the way, I just this week, as a matter of fact, I was curious. I went ahead and had a blood test done to see if I still had COVID antibodies because it's been 11 months since I got COVID. I still have antibodies. So 11 months later, I still have them. I just found this out officially yesterday, okay, after 11 months. That's great. But you know something? If you put me in a room with an empty chair next to me and you have on the other side of the room somebody who has not had COVID but been fully vaccinated and there's an empty chair next to them, I hate to say it, but the majority of Americans who walk in that room, they're going to be like, they're going to feel safer sitting next to the vaccinated person than you would sitting next to me.
And therein lies the problem.
I know. And it's like, how do you even have a rational, logical intellectual conversation with people about this when they won't look at the calculator. It says right here, plus two equals four. I don't care. This is just how I feel. Get away, you danger to society. It's like, oh my goodness. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take another short break. We'll pick it up from there next here on the National Crawford Roundtable.
Dr. James Dobson left a successful career in academia to preserve and promote the biblical family in America. The radio broadcasting ministry of Dr. Dobson spans over four decades, earning him 17 honorary doctorate degrees and an induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Today, Dr. Dobson continues to champion marriage and parenthood through Family Talk. Listen every weekday at drjamesdobson.org and be sure to reference the National Crawford Roundtable podcast when asked how you listen to Family Talk.
Continuing this National Crawford Roundtable podcast with myself, Bob Duco, out of Detroit, with Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line from the People's Republic of California. It came down really, folks, to Larry Elder or Roger Marsh. And it turns out that Gavin Newsom eked out Roger Marsh and Larry Elder. Neil Boron of Neil Boron Live, Buffalo, New York. He'll be back with us next week. We're talking about COVID right now. This poll showing that 16% of Americans say they have ended an average of three friendships over vaccine disagreements. You have families even that are saying, we're estranged. We don't want to talk with you if you haven't had the vaccine. It's like, my goodness, what's going on?
Well, real quick, Bob,
how do you get through to people, John? Yeah.
Well, I mean, real quick, before we move into that, and I'm not saying that the vaccine has anything to do with, you know, the mark of the beast or end times or anything along those lines, because I don't believe that it is. But I do believe this. If you look at where we're at, and what's going on right now, and the question you're even posing right now, Bob, which is, you know, how do we get through to these people and get some common sense into all of this? If and when, well, not if, when the mark of the beast does come, holy cow, folks, watch out, because the reality is, there, it, just like Scripture says, there will be, you know, tons and tons and tons of people that will be taking it, thinking that that's the right thing to do, Christians included, because there's a ton of Christians, by the way, that we could be talking to right now about this whole vaccine thing. And my fear is, if they're that gullible for this, how gullible will they be when it comes to the mark of the beast?
I could not agree more. I've been saying this all along. I think that right now Satan and his demons are high-fiving each other going, this is going to be easier than we thought.
Yep.
When it gets to be Antichrist time and true mark of the beast, this little dry run, this dress rehearsal, wow, has this been pretty easy. So it's like, my goodness.
And I don't know why, Bob. That's the part. Back to your question. How do you get through to these individuals that think that somehow this vaccine is their savior, if you would? It's the Messiah in a syringe. I don't know how else to say it, but that's really how they feel. And the reality is, you just proved it. They're no more safer at the end of the day with the vaccine than if they've had COVID prior. Or for those that have never had COVID, if you look at the real numbers of the actual risk for a solid, healthy, United States of American citizen that doesn't have any other comorbidities, and you look at the chances of dying from COVID, you don't need a vaccine in the first place anyways.
Right. I know. It's just, but what you're talking about, though, you know, the old bumper sticker, annoy a liberal, use facts and logic. Part of the problem here is that you can't use facts and logic with people. They have just, it's almost like, in a weird kind of way, Roger, you've had these conversations with people before too, I know. The people that are so emotionally absorbed and obsessed into any kind of belief system that you wave your hand in front of their eyes and you go, are you in there somewhere? People that are trapped in cults are like this very often, whether it's Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, or whatever. If somebody's trapped in a cult or they're following even some smaller cult leader, you can't get through to them because they're disconnected from reality. They don't care what the facts are. Global warming, to a certain extent, has done that with some people. It's become a religion for them that they're so obsessed they can't see beyond it. Trump derangement syndrome, to a certain extent, as well. But this is what's happening here. Where's the objectivity? What does it take for somebody to go, wait a minute here, I've been scared to death of getting COVID, I'm fully vaccinated, but if it's really 1 out of 160,000 chance of dying, and those are the CDC numbers, am I looking at this all wrong? Maybe I shouldn't be afraid. Who cares if somebody's sitting next to me, if they're vaccinated or not vaccinated? If my chances of dying are that remote, why am I thinking about this? Come on, let's go out to dinner. Well, where's the objectivity, Roger? And how do you, as a pastor, Roger, how do you get people to look at things objectively and clearly and cut through their emotions that they've already predecided in anything, let alone this COVID stuff?
It is interesting because, and that's a great analogy, because pastors do have to deal with this all the time. Let's say there's right. the death of a loved one, the loss of a loved one, and the question is asked, you know, well, is my brother going to hell or going to heaven or whatever, because I don't know what they were feeling or they're feeling about religion. And so here comes the pastor's response, which is, okay, well, I don't know your brother, so I mean, I got to figure out, you know, where they were spiritually, and that's between them and God. But a lot of people are saying, okay, well, I will feel better if I know that my dad's in heaven. I will feel better if I know that that person goes there. So do you tell them an untruth, like, oh, I'm sure they're fine, you know, do you tell them the actual truth? And the reality is, as much as our feelings guide our faith in terms of how good it feels to have a great positive worship experience, I mean, our faith is greater than our fears, so our great faith is greater than our feelings. And we do have a huge problem in the culture right now in terms of this confirmation bias of people who are, they're kind of the juxtaposition of facts and feelings. You know, it's a fact that I feel this way, so therefore that's my truth, you know, that type of thing. And how do you, I mean, the numbers that you shared, and you said the one out of 160,000, that's for the vaccinated? Is that
fully vaccinated, yes. Fully vaccinated,
So what does the CDC come out with then? It's all over the media. If you are not vaccinated, you are 11 times greater chance of dying. Okay, well, if it's 11 times greater, I'll do simple math here. Let's say it's now one out of 16,000, okay? Didn't you just say it was one out of 8,400?
That's right, chance for of dying car, crash, a car crash this year alone.
Right, so you have twice as great a risk of dying in a car crash, something that you wouldn't even think about doing, just get in the car and drive to the supermarket, as you do of being unvaccinated and dying of COVID. I mean, so that is an actual fact, but that will be completely lost on leftists and progressives and liberals who are saying, I don't want to die of COVID, so therefore I'm afraid, so therefore everybody needs to get the vaccine, so I'll feel better. And the reality is, look, I can only control my health. You guys can only control your health. And the way, you know, things work, if the natural immunity is the way to go, I'm thinking, why don't we have more COVID parties? You know, somebody gets it, everybody race over to your house and watch the big game. I mean, if it's going to be like getting the same kind of herd immunization through chickenpox, measles, all the things we did when we were kids. One scientist I was watching an interview of on YouTube said, look, this is not a vaccination because polio, we have a vaccine for that. You take the polio shot, you don't get polio ever. This is a shot that the mutants vary and move. You have to keep getting a shot every year for this or every 6 months for this. It's not a vaccine, not a true one.
That's a very good point. I'll tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to continue the second half of this National Crawford Roundtable podcast coming up next. You can listen to the second half online by going to crawfordmediagroup.net or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we're also going to be diving into the mandate that Joe Biden is pushing forward on businesses as well. A lot more to unpack with all the latest of the world of COVID coming up next in the second half of this National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
This has been a Crawford Broadcasting production.
Continuing the second half of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast with John Rush of Rush to Reason from Denver, Colorado, Roger Marsh from The Bottom Line of the People's Republic of California, myself, Bob Duco, out of The Bob Duco Show from Detroit, Neil Boron Live of Buffalo, New York, will be back with us next week. We're talking about all the latest regarding COVID. By the way, before we get to Joe Biden and his mandate, I've been harping on this natural immunity thing that just drives me crazy. And I just want to remind everybody again and get you guys' take on this as well. It would be a lot easier for me to trust and believe things that the CDC says or Dr. Fauci or whatever if they would be intellectually honest about the issue of natural immunity. But they're not. There's been a study from Emory University. There's been a study now from Cleveland Clinic with over 52,000 people consistently showing that natural immunity is stronger and longer lasting than vaccine immunity. Now, just a few weeks ago, a new study came out of Tel Aviv University with over 76,000 people studied. And of the 76,000 people studied, here's what was determined, that if you compare vaccinated people to natural immunity people, one versus the other, your chance of catching asymptomatic COVID, where you don't have any symptoms at all, is 13 times higher for the vaccinated than natural immunity. Your chances of catching symptomatic COVID is 27 times higher for the vaccinated than it is the natural immunity. And this was 76,000 people. I watched Dr. Fauci on CNN on Sunday, and he was actually asked about the Tel Aviv study by Sanjay Gupta, CNN's medical guy. And Sanjay Gupta was like, you know, what do you say about this? You got the Tel Aviv University study, and it seems to suggest that natural immunity is stronger than vaccine immunity. What do we do with this? And here's Dr. Fauci, the infectious disease guru who's supposed to be the know-all be-all in this area. He said, well, I can't really give you a firm answer to that. It's something that certainly we should discuss, and we'll talk about it, but I can't really give you a firm answer on that. So what are you talking about? You've been doing this for the last 40 years, and you don't have an opinion on natural immunity? It's like they're so vested in pushing the vaccine, they refuse to acknowledge that people like myself that have natural immunity, I got antibodies now 11 months later, this is stronger and longer lasting than the vaccine. What they ought to be telling us is that if you have been vaccinated or if you have already had COVID, you don't have anything to worry about. You've got a better chance of getting hit by an albatross and a bolt of lightning at the same time than dying from this. So you're fine. It's just everybody else that's potentially vulnerable. And there's not that many people left in America who have neither had COVID nor been vaccinated. So I'm just having a hard time trusting anything that comes out of the CDC or Fauci when they refuse to acknowledge the reality of natural immunity. That's just.
And by the way, Bob, it's not just Fauci. I mean, I think what his mantra is passed down to even other, you know, virologists, and because you see others that will say things like, well, we already know from lots of different testing over a period of time that, you know, Bob's natural immunity isn't as good as the COVID vaccine. Bob has less immunity and it's more limited than if Bob were to actually go and get the vaccine, although there's plenty of information and data out there that would tell those virologists that they're actually wrong, because Bob does have better immunity. In fact, Bob has better immunity against all the different forms of COVID and mutation that will come down the pike that the vaccine, by the way, I believe is causing. That's a whole nother conversation we could get into, but that's a whole nother, you know, that's a podcast in and of itself, guys. I really do believe that, though. I think that's partly why we have so many other variants this quickly is because of the vaccine itself. And I've had individuals on that can testify to that and even explain much better than I as to why that is. But we've got experts, quote unquote, that are believing and talking the same way Fauci does. And guys, the only thing I have to ask is, do they really believe this, or is this just the mantra that's being passed down from the Faucis of the world, that all these folks have to get into the cult and believe the same thing and fan the flame and spread the same false data, if you would, or false narrative, because it is, in fact, false? That's the question I have. Why are they all on the bandwagon, a bandwagon of misinformation?
Yeah.
Can I take a swing at that? I would love to.
Yeah, please. Because,
I mean, I know that was somewhat rhetorical, but we have been having a conversation here for the past half hour or so. We're in our 110th or whatever it is episode of National Crawford Roundtable. And I would be willing to wager, though I'm not a gambling man, I would be willing to wager that we have invested more time researching and discussing these very issues that we're talking about here than anybody else in all of the mainstream media combined. I mean, when you get right down to it, it has become such a copy and paste world that people just kind of look at their Twitter, they look at what's trending, and they go with whatever's happening. And I think they honestly do believe that if, you know, Donald Trump said this about the election and somebody said that's a baseless claim. Okay, well, now he's spreading lies and he's spreading misinformation. You can't post anything about COVID-19 on social media without someone popping up a little bug that says, you know, this hasn't been proven yet, or we're going to blur your Instagram or whatever, because this is misinformation. And the reason it's misinformation is simply because it disagrees with or challenges the status quo, which is coming out of the CDC. I mean, it's unbelievable that we're actually in this point, that we wouldn't, if this is a real health epidemic, pandemic that's going on. One of my callers works in the health field and said, this is endemic. I mean, it's common. It's happening right now, but it's not really a pandemic. I mean, not by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, here's CNN dutifully this morning. Did you know that one out of every five Americans who was alive last year is now dead because of COVID? I'm like, wait, what?
I mean, one out of five?
One out of 500. Excuse me.
Okay.
And if you do the simple math and say there's 331 million people in the U.S. and they've attributed over 600,000 deaths to COVID or COVID-related comorbidities, then yeah, that's, oh my gosh, one out of every 500. So when I go to church this Sunday and there's 1,000 people there, two of them might be dead next week because of COVID. That's how your brain starts working. Instead of saying, wait a minute. I heard John and Bob and Roger talking about natural immunity and talking about how you are as susceptible, if not more susceptible, to getting infected, even if you've had the vaccine, then if you don't and you survive it. But nobody makes any money on that, guys. I mean, no, CNN doesn't make any money on that. Big Pharma doesn't make any money on that. If it really were just about health, then we wouldn't be encouraging people to get jabbed and saying that's your savior.
Right. And the truth is, it's not about health. It really isn't.
No, it is not.
Control and power, and we'll get into
that's
that
right.
too. But I do have to say one thing about the CDC as well. We have a tendency sometimes to look at large establishment organizations and assume that they're above dishonest politics. We used to think that about the FBI and the CIA and the national intelligence agencies and such, and now, of course, we realize that that's not true. But the CDC has always had that perception of, okay, they're not just a political propaganda piece. They're the CDC. They're going to be neutral. But the CDC, I don't know if you guys know this, but they got outright busted a couple of weeks ago, flat out lying in a deceptive headline that they put out that was picked up by media across the country. Here's what the CDC did. They ran this headline. It said, new CDC study shows vaccine immunity stronger than natural immunity in COVID-19. And I'm like, what? CDC did a study and they found that vaccine immunity is actually stronger than previously infected than natural immunity. So I'm like, wow. And this was picked up by media across the country. So I went to the study itself. I wanted to read this. And you know what I find out when I get down into the story? That the study itself is actually different than the headline. The headline was an absolute MSNBC deceptive headline. Here's what the study actually really was. It wasn't a comparison between vaccinated people and natural immunity people. It was a study only of natural immunity people. By the way, it was only 264 people in the study, so not 70,000, okay, 264 people. It was only a two-month window, and it was only one state, Kentucky. And they took 264 people who had COVID already and already had natural immunity. Of that group of people, they had some of them, they looked at reports of people that doubled up, that had natural immunity and decided to get the vaccine on top of their natural immunity anyway. And of those people that self-reported that, they found that those people had even more coverage, if you will, from COVID than those who just had natural immunity. But the coverage for both was so high, it was in the stratosphere. So it's almost like, oh, you're in the depths of the ocean. Okay, are you 19 fathoms down or are you 21 fathoms down? You're deep in the ocean, so who cares? Well, but when you read down further into the study, they even admit that because this is self-reporting, and here's the fine print deep in it, they said, because this is self-reporting, we realize that you get different self-reporting numbers from people who get vaccinated versus not, so that skews these numbers. Add to that, it's only 200 people. Add to that, it's only 2 months. Add to that, it's only one state. They finish by saying, based on the flaws of this study, we acknowledge this study cannot be used to infer any causality. That's exactly what the CDC, but that's the fine print that I guarantee you 99.999% of people are not going to take the time to read the whole study as I did. Mm-hmm. So not only, even if their headline was honest to say natural immunity is not as strong as natural immunity plus vaccine, even that would be misleading when you find out how skewed the study is. But that's not what the headline was. the headline pitted natural immunity against vaccine immunity, which is not what the study was. And I read that and I'm like, you got to be kidding. I was at cdc.gov and I'm looking at the headline and saying, you know what? That's it. They are officially MSNBC. They're officially MSCDC. Mm-hmm. They are a propaganda arm now that's not objective either. So you can't trust what they say any more than you can trust what they say on CNN. So that's what's so frustrating to me about this entire debate is that we can't even talk about the actual science and the actual facts anymore because everything has been politicized, especially from the left on this. So keep that in mind, guys, next time you hear people saying, hey, the CDC said this, so that's gospel.
By the way, Bob.
I'll tell you, hold on to the by the way real quick because I'm looking at the clock. I see we got to take a quick break, and then I want to hear you by the way. More of the National Crawford Roundtable next.
Learn how to walk the narrow path with Steve Gregg. With over 40 years of studying the Bible, Steve Gregg is passionate about teaching you how to apply scriptural wisdom to every aspect of your life. Listen to The Narrow Path on your local Crawford broadcasting station or online at thenarrowpath.com. The Narrow Path is 100% listener supported. Please keep this vital ministry going with your generous financial support. And let them know you heard about The Narrow Path on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continuing the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, myself, Bob Duco, Roger Marsh, Neil Boron will be back with us next week. John Rush, you wanted to comment on the CDC deceptive headline I mentioned.
Yeah, and along the lines of what you just said, Bob, there's a great article 2 days ago, an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, basically saying everything you just said, only there in this article, adding into it all of the studies that have come out of Israel. And what folks maybe don't know is Israel has done a really, really good job of tracking everything that's gone on with COVID once the vaccines became available and they started issuing them. They've got a sample of more than 700,000 people that say natural immunity was 27 times more effective than the vaccinated immunity in preventing symptomatic infections. Now, the question in this particular article, this opinion piece, is why, as a governmental agency, the CDC, that has a 21,000 employee roster with $15 billion annual budget, with data on more than 40 million Americans who have tested positive for COVID and 200 million that have been vaccinated, why are we not publicizing the same information that's coming out of Israel? In fact, we're doing just the opposite. We are publicizing information from the CDC that fits the narrative, and they will go find some obscure study that says that the infection rate is less if you're vaccinated versus a natural immunity. They'll go find one little one-off study that barely even supports that particular mantra, but that's what they'll use instead of using the real raw data like Israel's using. And again, guys, you have to ask the question, why?
Yeah. Boy, you do wonder about that. I mean, what is the motive here behind using this kind of dishonesty to push everybody into getting the vaccines and such?
And really, guys, that's a question I have for both. That's a question I have for both of you, because I've interviewed a lot of different people. I've got my own thoughts. I don't know that any of my thoughts still answer the ultimate question as to why. I mean, a lot of folks will come on and will agree that, well, follow the money. There's a lot of money involved in the vaccine itself and the booster shots and all that goes with it and so on and so forth. And while I may agree with that to a certain extent, I don't know if that's the only reason why this is being pushed, the way it's being pushed, guys. And again, I want your thoughts on the why. I mean, why is this being pushed the way it is, especially here in the United States of America? And by the way, we lead the world when it comes to these sorts of things. Everybody sort of poo-poos Israel because they're just this little dinky country over off the Mediterranean Sea that really doesn't matter at the end of the day anyway. So we don't care about what their studies say. Let's face it, that's kind of what the rest of the world says, even though they should be looking at it very closely. So again, I ask the question, why?
Yeah. Roger, you got a theory? I think it's about power and spiritually driven. I think it's a combination of dry run spiritually from the enemy, combined with a sense of liberal left wing. We want government power and control, and the more of your lives we can control, we can. And this just feeds us and enables us. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. There's a spiritual component here that the media doesn't report on because they don't fully understand it. Their job is to just get the headline, get the trend, get whatever ratings they can get so they can make money for their companies. That's about as deep as they are. We have a president now who basically has conceded the fact that he's a globalist to the point where he wants to see, you know, this quote-unquote global unity by basically handing over Afghanistan so China and Iran can, you know, benefit mightily from it and establish more of a global power. And something tells me we have to ask the question, why would he do so willingly, so haphazardly, leaving behind all the money? And we've talked about that ad nauseum, but there has to be some kind of connection there with regard to China. And oh, by the way, where exactly did this virus originate? And who was in cahoots in terms of creating the strains that somehow got leaked and all of a sudden people started traveling? Remember the first few cases? Hey, here's so-and-so traveled from China to Seattle. Here's so-and-so went to Washington, D.C. You know, it was a few isolated cases. And now for some reason, the country with the best healthcare system in the entire world has the most deaths from COVID in the entire world. How in the world is that happening? Well, tell me. I mean, there's so much intentionality in terms of the spread. Oh, by the way, somebody who immigrates into the country doesn't have to get checked for COVID. Somebody who comes in here illegally winds up getting shot up, and next thing you know, they're either in prison or they're working in a nursing home. I mean, guys, these aren't conspiracies. You could Google the facts and find out. One of the reasons why Andrew Cuomo is not in office anymore, ostensibly, is because of his, you know, sexual dalliances, which may or may not be true. My hunch is it probably is. But let's not forget that the big cover-up for him initially was this guy won an Emmy Award for a documentary about how he saved New York from COVID, only to find out that they were underreporting deaths in nursing homes. I mean, there's a thinning the herd mentality that's going on around here, too. And again, I realize just by saying that, we'll probably get censored, you know, by Apple Podcasts and on the other platforms that carry us, because here we are spreading this false information and this misinformation. But guys, it's not misinformation if it's factually accurate. It was the noted theologian Dizzy Dean who once said, bragging ain't bragging if you got the facts to back it up. Everything we're talking about here is factually accurate and back upable. So in terms of why all this is happening and why we've got three different vaccines now, we've got a one shot, we've got two shots, pretty soon we're going to have pills. I mean, we'll have cute little jingles. They'll be, you know, selling all this stuff at CVS soon. And we still keep having this rising death toll. Have you noticed that the infection rate seems to go up whenever it's convenient for the White House, and it seems to go down whenever it's convenient for the White House? I mean, our hospitalizations in LA County were going through the roof right after the 4th of July. But then when it looked like Newsom needed a little help to make it out of the recall, all of a sudden, hey, look, we've got this under control. And you know why we have it under control? Because of the mandates of Governor Newsom. And it's like, oh, give me a break. I mean, guys, just reporting, underreporting. It's not so much what's happening, it's what we're being told is happening.
Right, so true. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the vaccine mandate that's being pushed now by Joe Biden, of course, on employers, and we'll get to that coming up next here on the National Crawford Roundtable.
Dr. Michael Youssef leads the way for people living in spiritual darkness to discover the light of Jesus Christ. This tremendous outreach begins with the proclamation of God's Word through the uncompromising biblical teaching of Dr. Michael Youssef. Leading the Way is here to equip and strengthen the church to stand strong and to advance the gospel in today's ever-changing world. Listen to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org/listen, and be sure to mention you heard about their program on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Continuing this National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with myself, Bob Duco, John Rush, Roger Marsh, Neil Boron will be back with us next week talking about the latest on COVID. And so here we go. Joe Biden, as we all know now, has ordered mandates on private businesses. And let's remind everybody, this is after Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Jen Psaki, Anthony Fauci, all of them repeatedly said, oh, we can't have vaccine mandates on private businesses in this country. We can't do that from a federal level. Well, now we are doing that. Everybody get amnesia to this. Roger, to a point you were making, which is so important here to remember, look at the exemptions. Congress is exempt, their staff is exempt. The federal courts are exempt, their staffs are exempt. Postal workers are exempt, 600,000 of them, thanks to the U.S. Postal Union demanding exemption. And of course, they are big donors to the Democratic Party. But illegal immigrants are exempt also from this. So they don't have, you have hundreds of thousands of people flooding over an open border into this country, bringing in COVID. And according to ICE themselves, Biden's own Immigration Customs Enforcement, do you know that they don't have to even get tested if they don't want to? Not only can they opt out of vaccines, they can opt out of testing. And right now, ICE says 30% of illegal immigrants that have been detained, 30% of them are refusing testing. And it gets even worse. ICE also says that of all of the illegal immigrants being released into the United States, 18% of them are COVID positive. The ones that have been tested, COVID positive. So we're releasing COVID positive illegal immigrants into the United States. We're releasing an additional tens of thousands of them into the U.S. that have not been tested because they're refusing to do it. We have open borders. And you're going to tell me, Joe Biden, that you have to tell private businesses that they have to require this of their employees for the protection and safety of Americans? I got to tell you, John, this is so inconsistent, but yep. It's hard to believe this is really happening in America, but it is.
I fully agree. And by the way, I think this is going to get challenged. And I've told even people that have called in saying, hey, you know, I'm not going to get the vaccine. Do I quit my job? What do I do? And I keep telling everybody, you know, hold tight, wait and see what happens. Do not quit your job. Go get an attorney if need be. I believe this is going to get fought out in court. First of all, Joe Biden, as president of the United States, does not have the authority, constitutionally speaking, to do what he just did when it came to private business. So those of you that are out there listening that work for a private business and they're requiring this, number one, what Joe is mandating is frankly illegal. Now, what an employer does outside of that, guys, is up to them. My point is the federal government cannot mandate to a private business in this area what they can and cannot do. So again, I would be very cautious if I was somebody working for someone that's requiring this on what you do as far as your job goes. And I'm not in favor of just, you know, having people, you know, walk out, not show up for their job, things like that. I think people right now need to fight this any way, shape, or form that they can. There's lots of attorneys, by the way, out there that'll take these cases on for free because they believe in the same things, guys, that we believe in. So there's plenty of help out there for individuals like that. Bottom line, he's not able to do this legally speaking. Where this goes from here, guys, I don't know. But to your point, Bob, I cannot believe we live in a day and age in America where we're now having to fight this.
Yeah, it is hard to believe. And John, Roger, some of your thoughts on this, the idea that we now have the federal government ordering private businesses with 100 or more employees, which, by the way, you know, there's a lot of private businesses out there with 120 employees that now people are going to get laid off. They're going to get their hours cut. They're going to get. So this is hurting people as well. It's going to cost a bunch of jobs at the same time. But I want to add
one thing to that, too, that everybody kind of forgets about, too, because. Yeah. While, make sure that I explain this correctly, if your business that you work for might even have a small office but is a part of a, you know, unemployment identification number that is overall more than 100, even though you may be in an office of 5 or 10 people, clear away from wherever the main office is, or you're in, you know, even some franchises, depending upon how they're held and how things are done and so on. There's a lot of businesses, is my point, that are going to be affected by this far more than what I think anybody really thinks about. Just because you're in an area where you may not have that 100 or more doesn't mean you're not going to be affected by this.
Right. So true. Roger, what's some of your thoughts on Joe Biden, the federal government, actually forcing this on private businesses?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, it obviously he's frustrated because there's somebody breathing down his neck saying, we want more vaccines administered. There's 80 million Americans that have said they don't want to take the vaccine. There are 339 million doses of the vaccine that have been given. So somebody wants an extra 160 million double jabs of people on the ostensibly because it's safety and a safety issue. Now, let's not forget, too, that not only on the federal level, but there are individual states that are issuing mandates, too. And here in the People's Republic of California, the California Department of Public Health has decided that anyone who does anything that has to do anything with the medical industry has to get jabbed or lose their job. And I know this firsthand because my wife is facing losing her job right now because she works in IT. She works from home exclusively, has not been on site in 2 years, doesn't interact with patients or anyone, and yet they are requiring her to get jabbed or get fired. It's really that simple. So it's not anecdotal for us. I mean, it's really happening. And, you know, it's completely ridiculous because of the fact that, like I said, she works off site. She's putting in phone systems at the hospital she works for. I mean, mean, there's no way that she's in any danger to anybody other than herself in her office, in our home. And yet, this is the reality that we're dealing with in certain states. So on the federal level, for the federal government to throw these out there, and again, they'll say, we can't enforce the mandate. They don't enforce the mandate, actually. Do you remember what happened with the transgender bathroom fiasco back in North Carolina and everything a few years back? Remember how that all started? It was not because President Obama said, we want you to do this. What they said was, okay, in public schools, if you don't make accommodations for these students, you're not getting your school lunch money. You know, these were all in guidelines. They're not laws. And so, yes, by federal fiat, they cannot issue a law or an executive order that says, I'm mandating this. What they'll do is they'll issue some other departmental guideline or something like that that says, hey, if you don't do this, if you don't comply, you're not getting your federal funding. And that's how they'll force it upon us. So, I mean, it's going to be a long, tough battle in court for a lot of people. But the reality is, this is where, Bob, to your point, the spiritual warfare part comes in. There is no logistical, logical, normal reason for this type of thing to be happening other than the fact that there's some demonic force at play. If it were all about health, if it were all about safety, this would be a rational conversation that would probably be solved by people distancing, wearing masks, staying home if they're not feeling well, that type of stuff. But then also understanding that the herd immunity is going to be achieved if people can actually get in herds to get the virus, let it go through the system, and create the antibody structure that's necessary. Right.
Well, frankly, when you look at children and how safe children are from catching COVID anyway.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't had more parents having the child COVID parties the way that we used to have the chicken pox parties when we were younger.
Because they're so afraid and they've drank the Kool-Aid as well. That's why.
I know.
Unfortunately.
How do we advise people with what to do with their jobs? I mean, John, this is a tough decision. The point Roger was making here, you know, about his wife. I mean, people are facing this in real life. They have to make decisions right now.
Don't quit. Don't quit.
Wait to get fired.
Wait to get fired and then get legal, you know, get legal counsel along the way. Start that process now. If you feel like that may end up being you, if you're, you know, if you feel like your company's going to be one of those that just has no exceptions, they're not going to let anybody have any outs, and you're going to be on the chopping block, go get representation now.
Yeah. Go ahead and stick it out. And it just refuse as best you can.
Yes.
This is, I'll tell you what though, this is a tough situation for people because I get people calling into my show, nurses. I've been a nurse for 25 years. This is my career. This is what I do. And I'm the breadwinner of the home. And, you know, what do I do? You know, because they're saying maybe I should just cave in and just do it. It's wrong. It's an injustice. But, you know, my alternative is I financially destroy my home and I end my career. And do I really want to do that? And I mean, these are real tough life decisions for people
they are
to make. You know?
Yeah. And my heart goes out to him, Bob. Now, the other alternative, and this isn't available for everyone, and I understand that, but I do believe there will be an exodus of some really strong, solid, best and brightest of a lot of mid to, you know, to highly employed companies out there, you know, medium to large companies out there, where I do believe that some of these people, for whatever reason, they don't want to fight it. They're tired. They're tired of all the other things that have come down the pike, and they're just finally fed up, and they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to go to work for somebody like John, who doesn't require these things, who does appreciate the people that work for him. They will do anything possible to make sure that his people don't have to be vaccinated, and or whatever choice they want to make, they can make on their own. We want to go work for an employer like that. And I've been telling the folks that I counsel along those lines, you know, be ready for some of these people that are going to be out there looking for work, because they are going to be there. And what I believe is going to happen, guys, if this continues to go down this path, you're going to see some really great smaller private companies gain some really solid individuals that will actually position them in a better way than those that are above them. And this is going to be one of those transfers of knowledge, I guess you could say, from big companies to small, if the small companies prepare for it properly.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hope you're right. That makes a lot of sense. You know, Roger, you do wonder, where does this go? I mean, the slippery slope term that we use so often, it seems to me there's no way in the world that the left is going to stop with just the COVID vaccine. If we go ahead and allow ourselves to be bullied and controlled in this way, what's next? I really believe post-COVID, the next step is, okay, well, now we're going to take away parental rights when it comes to vaccinating your kids with all the other kind of vaccines as well. So what do you do with parents that are concerned about autism, possible links or whatever? Nope, you're not allowed to have that opinion. You have to get your children vaccinated. If you don't, then you're abusing and neglecting your child. It's like denying them life-saving medical treatment. You could lose custody of your children. And then it gets to everybody has to have a flu vaccine every year, and if you don't, and I'm telling you, I think to quote the great theologian Barney Fife, we need to nip it in the bud now, because otherwise, Roger, I see this ultimately: flu shots, childhood vaccines, and then parents losing parental rights because it's considered abuse and medical abuse and neglect of your child to not get them all of the other MMR vaccines and everything else, not to mention just the COVID.
Yeah, and here in the People's Republic, it's been so interesting to watch the number of people with medical backgrounds run for state office. There's one pediatrician who ran for state assembly and immediately began authoring a whole series of bills that increased the number of vaccinations the kids had to have and making them mandatory, and then voting to take out the opt-out for a physical problem, you know, if kids have a reaction to it, or even worse, the religious exemption. Some people just said, you know, that's not my faith, and I don't want you putting that stuff in my body. At one point, the public schools here in California had an immunization success rate of over 90%. And that's what all the, you know, experts tell you, you're in good shape. But there were a couple of school districts, one or two, like Beverly Hills and stuff like that, that had 80%. And here came more laws. More laws were coming for your kids, basically. They started taking away all the exemptions. Our goal, they got it up to about 95%. They were still passing bills. And at that point, you began to realize it had nothing to do with the children's health. It had everything to do with control. And that was kind of a precursor to where we are right now. And it's amazing how many people, as you mentioned it, have fallen for it. I mean, how many people have just, you know, gone into this? This is the kind of thing where you have to kind of take your logical, rational brain and keep it protected and very well guarded, because what's happening around us here isn't so much about whether or not we elect the right candidates or whether or not we get the right bills passed or whatever. Now that it's a spiritual issue, it really becomes a matter of, and I'm not suggesting that Christians who've gotten the vaccine are somehow lemmings and sheep and, you know, whatever. If you feel led to get the vaccine, by all means, get it. I mean, do that. But please understand that there are forces here that want you to get vaccinated simply because it's about power and control, has nothing to do with your health. And and therein lies the rub. I think that we in the body of Christ need to be forewarned and then, you know, take a look around at what's actually happened and say, it's here. Absolutely. Now. I mean, this is the dry run. This is the dress rehearsal.
It is. It is. Well, I'll tell you what, I know there's a lot more we could talk about this, but we're coming up on the end of this podcast. So let me just say, we always appreciate you folks listening. We do. You can listen to the Crawford Roundtable podcasts online at crawfordmediagroup.net, or of course, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We always welcome your nice 5-star reviews. Thank you very much. We look forward to having Neil Boron back with us next week as well. And John Rush of Rush to Reason out of Denver, Colorado, Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line for the People's Republic of California, couldn't make it happen for Larry Elder. Okay, what are you going to do? Myself, Bob Duco out of Detroit. Guys, always great catching up with you. Thanks a lot. Look forward to next week.
Likewise, Bob.
Yep. Thanks Bob.
We'll see you. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless.
This has been the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Download and subscribe to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Apple users can rate the podcast, and we'd appreciate your 5-star rating. National Crawford Roundtable Podcast returns with a new discussion each week. Be sure to watch for the notification on your podcast app. This has been a Crawford Media Group production.